Good relationships are God's idea. Today I have a word for people who have either been hurt or who are not realizing the full potential in the idea of godly relationships. I want to say this again. Today I believe the Lord has given me a word for people who have maybe been hurt or somehow hedged in or hemmed in because of some failure in a relationship, some wound in a relationship, some hurt from a relationship. And you've given up on the whole idea of having meaningful, edifying, mutually beneficial relationships. But I'm here to tell you today that God has given a word in my heart so strong, I have no doubt this is a message from the Lord today. God's good relationships, healthy relationships, are God's idea. And they are His plan for every one of us. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Colossians 3, starting at verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people that He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. There's a quote that somebody gave. I don't know who the author of it, but it's a powerful quote. It says, the power to heal, the power to inspire and to achieve incredible accomplishments all hinge on healthy relationships. The power to inspire, the power to heal, to achieve great accomplishments all hinge on healthy relationships. First, a relationship with God, which is the primary one. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then God ordained, everybody say God ordained, horizontal relationships with people around who God will bring into your life for a reason, for a purpose. Now, you may have had people who come into your life to tear you down. And so I'm not saying that every person that comes into your life is sent by God. Are you with me today? We need to be aware of some of those wolves who come in sheep clothing. And if you've been hurt by people who are trying to tear you down or just had, meanness of spirit or revenge in their heart or they had just a worldly attitude or bitterness, that's not your failure, that's their failure. Somebody say amen. Sometimes we've been hurt by people and we blame ourselves. If you are looking to God and you're asking God to finish the good work that He started in you, and if you're willing to do what our text says, clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. If you're living this way, then you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You don't have to be beat up by every fool that comes along. All right? You can be selective about who your friends are. And you should also not give up on people who God sees have potential. Because there's times where we're ready to like say, that's it, that's the last time I'm going to put up with that nonsense. But sometimes with the grace of God and with the forgiveness of God and with a vision for some other person's life, we can believe and help them overcome a hurdle to become all that God sees them becoming. I have to tell you, very honestly, there are special people in my life, especially men. I try to mentor and spend time with men. Because I think God has given me this calling. And there's been guys that are a little bit rough around the edges. That's putting it very nicely, actually. A bit rough around the edges. But God told me, don't give up on that guy. Keep praying for them. Keep believing. You see, 2018 is going to be a year of great progress for Catalyst because we have faith in God and we love people. I'm going to say it again. 2018, I declare it by faith today, is going to be a year of great progress because there's people, like take Saul of Tarsus. Who would have given a dime for that guy? Saul of Tarsus. Hey, guess what, guys? We're going to go down to the coffee shop and hang out with Saul of Tarsus. Yeah, but he's a terrorist. He wants to kill Christians. But God said to Ananias, who was praying, Ananias, the disciple who was sent to pray over Saul, who became Paul the Apostle, said, he is a chosen vessel for my service. I have called him. But Lord, don't you realize how he has persecuted us? He has dragged Christians off into jail. I'll make the final choice. God says, I'll decide. I'll decide if there's something worthwhile saving that person, if that person is a person of destiny. So what I'm saying is don't be abused by people. I'm not saying that. Don't be a doormat. But then on the other hand, don't give up too quickly either. Are you with me today? Because that person who is just really irritating you, maybe the one that God's trying to get your attention to say, he is a chosen vessel. She is a chosen vessel. You're like, really? Lord, they're the most annoying person in the world. Hey, guess what? When I was a teenager, nothing personal, guys. For you teenagers who are teenagers, I was the most annoying person. You know? And God... Yes, yeah, she said amen. God didn't give up on me. When I was 14, from the years of 14 to 17, I was a bad boy. I just put it that way. But when I was 17, just like what happened here today, the grace of God came on my life. I was at a camp up in Kingston, New York. And this man who was speaking wasn't even a pastor. He was the camp director. Talked all about God's love, and I suddenly saw the love that God had for me. God gave me an epiphany, an awakening, to see the cross, to see the love that God had for me. And I stood up. I said, guys, I've been going to church. You know, my family, they were in church every Sunday. But I have to tell you, I am not a real Christian. And I want to confess to you that I've been a big phony. I've been a hypocrite. It was not easy to get up and say that in front of my family. But I said, from this day on, I give my life to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That was over 50 years ago. He's never failed me. 50 years, brother. He's never failed me. If you want to understand Pastor Angela and Pastor David, you want to understand our life, if you could write our lives in one sentence, it's because we had a loving relationship with our Father in heaven, and we decided to spend our lives loving people. That's it. You want to understand us? It's because God chose me when I was the most rantankerous kid. I was rebellious. God reached his hand down and got a hold of me. Like they say, your arm too short to box with God. Come on now. God has a ways and means committee. And you know what happened with Saul of Tarsus? God knocked him right off his high horse. But relationships. And here's the thing. When they are good and they're healthy, it's the sweetest thing on earth. The most fulfilling thing on earth is a real friend who loves you unconditionally. Remember that one of my favorite scriptures, I've repeated it here probably a dozen times in this church, when Paul talked about Titus coming to visit him. And he said, we were distressed. We were harassed. We were persecuted. But then he says, my soul, my heart was consoled by the arrival of Titus. His friend showed up. Have you ever had a friend show up at your house or show up on the phone or somehow make you feel like life is worth living? Just a hand on somebody's shoulder. Just a hug. But when relationships are fractured and bitter and distant, there's a world of hurt. What do we learn from love bugs? You need to be together, but not that much. You ever see those love bugs crawling on your windshield? And one is pulling this way and the other one's pulling that way. And then all of these kids want to find them and tear them apart. Oh, come on, don't put your hand up. How many of you have torn one apart? Really, come on. God wants to be close, but he doesn't want us to be codependent. He wants to be in harmony with people, not smother them. And he doesn't want them to smother us or control us or manipulate us. We need to have some freedom in Christ. Amen? Some of the women in this church have been abused by men. I'm just going to tell it like it is. And you need to stop blaming yourself. It is not their failure is not your fault. And you need to put some margins and some boundaries around your life. Don't stop praying for them, but don't be a doormat either. Somebody say amen. Healthy, satisfying relationships are what God intended from the beginning. It started with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in perfect unity, perfect harmony. God wanted to bless the human family with this same beautiful fulfillment and intimacy and creativity and the joy that comes from being united. We talked a little bit about it last week when the brethren dwell together in unity. What's there? The blessing. The blessing of God is in you. God wanted this for mankind, so he created Adam and Eve. And everything was perfect until sin came into the picture. And Adam and Eve disobeyed God. You know the story. And sin came into the world. And man's heart was darkened by sin. How tragic in the world that we live today. People are still suffering the effects of our original parents who disobeyed God. But God had a plan in mind. Hallelujah. Even before the foundation of the world, God had prepared to send his son as a ransom for our sin. He was willing to let his son die in our place to put all the sins of the world on the sinless body of Jesus Christ and to judge that sin on the cross, because the Bible says cursed is everything that hangs on the cross. He became cursed so that you and I could enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ and the blessings promised to Abraham. Somebody say amen. There's so much loneliness in our world. We have all the technology. You ever go to a restaurant and you see a couple going out for dinner and both of them have their face in the phone? They're on the phone all the time, you know, texting. We have a world that is plagued by isolation. This young man who committed this heinous crime down in Florida, South Florida. Front page of the newspaper, you know, Nicholas Cruz, a loner. A loner. And, you know, we don't know if he had medical issues, if he was on drugs, these things. But who knows how his life might have been different if there was a Christian influence in his life, if there were some Christian parents or foster parents, because I know his parents both died. But maybe if there was a church youth group. A youth group that he could have gone to and realized that at least one person gave a care about his life. Do you know there are people sitting on buses and people at stores and people that you rub shoulders with who honestly, deep down inside, don't think there's one other human being who gives a darn about them? You say, how do you know that, Pastor? I've met them. I met a college student one time through our Chi Alpha ministry at University of Central Florida. He got up and testified. He said, I went through 4 years of college. And he says, I never actually had a meaningful conversation with one person in 4 years, and I never made one friend. The Beatles lyric had it right. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is that for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? They belong in church. Hallelujah. They belong in your life groups. Come on, Pastor Angela's the only one enjoying my sermon this morning. And she has to. She's my wife. Thank you. Thank you for that completely unsolicited encouragement. People spend hours in front of a TV or in movies staring at a screen. Watch this. Watching other people interact. Watching other people be intimate with each other while they hardly talk to the people who they live with or the neighbor next door. We can chat online with someone far away, and we could even pretend to be someone we are not. Brother Lanre and I had a friend we were trying to help who was constantly online on chat rooms. Right, Brother Lanre? Chat rooms. Thing about a chat room is you could pretend to be anything, thinking that perhaps you'll find true acceptance. Meanwhile, we're afraid to talk to anybody about what's really going on inside of us. We rub shoulders with people every day, while so many who pass us by live in isolation and silent desperation. Remember when 9/11 happened? Some of you were there. Where's Jimmy? Anybody else there at 9/11? Anybody was there? I don't know if you remember. First of all, the television, they took all the commercials off television for days. They were just playing coverage of the no commercials. You remember that? And how many of you remember newscasters and some of these, you know, professional personalities on television, like practically with tears in their eyes saying, whatever else you do, go home today and hug your family. Go home today and tell somebody near you that you love them. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. We've been to the memorial, my wife and I, and they have a recording of all the last phone calls. If you can stand to listen to it. People say, Mom, I just want to tell you there's been a crash. There's been a tragedy here. I just want you to know I love you. I'm so sorry. I love you. I've got to go. Isn't it strange how everything comes into focus in the tragedy and you realize what's really important? Every human being is looking for love and acceptance and feels a need to belong to something. And so I want you to know that God knows how you feel today. Whether you're a tremendous success, you know, or you feel like, man, I am like so bad with relationships. I have such a hard time. I mean, nobody seems to get along with me. I don't seem to connect with anybody. I don't know exactly what your personality is like, but this I want to tell you. God hears you. He feels you. God feels you. He knows what you're experiencing. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 6. Just before God sent the flood on the earth. Genesis 6, 5 and 6. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. And he saw that everything that mankind thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Every thought or imagination of their heart was evil all the time. In other words, mankind had gotten so bad there was no remedy. So the Lord was sorry that he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. One translation says, his heart was filled with pain. You ever think of that? You ever imagine God having pain in his heart? We think like, we typically think of God as being, you know, impervious to all these things. He's sitting up on a throne and is like in this globe, but God feels. Christ is now our high priest. And he intercedes for us. He ever lives. And the Bible says he was a merciful high priest who was touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. Did you know God knows how you feel? He feels you today. And he wants you to come up higher. He wants you to go from dysfunction to function. From having no vision for your life to having his vision for your life. Hallelujah. To to a point where you've given up on ever having happiness, or you've given up on the idea of anybody understanding you, to a place where you can be in a healthy, good relationship with Him and with people. Hallelujah. So don't give up on the ideal just because people have failed. Because God doesn't give up on this idea. It's still the same as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked on the earth. The two great commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. So relationship, besides loving God, which is number one, the second greatest command of God is to love people. Say this again. I want to say it again. Next to loving God, the greatest commandment is to love people. This is important. I'm here to tell you, do not give up today. And it doesn't mean you have to have 50 friends or even 10 friends. You know, at certain times, Jesus only had Peter, James, and John. Just the three guys who went up with him to the Mount of Transfiguration. Are you with me today? There were some times when he would go in to heal somebody, and he just brought Peter, James, and John with him. There was like a smaller group that really were very close. Don't be afraid to love again. Don't live behind the wall of hurt and fear. Don't give up on your faith in people to become what God wants them to become if they give their heart to Jesus. If you're trying to make somebody become something when they're not interested in Jesus, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to wear yourself out. Are you with me? Brother Joel, you know what I'm talking with. You've counseled a lot of people. Brother Joe, you've counseled people. People are not interested in God. You can pray for them. You can pray for them. But only as they get that vertical dimension right, that first relationship, love God, have a trust relationship, a faith in Him, that God is not out to destroy you. He's not out to punish you. He's not out to hurt you. God wants to give you an abundant life. Hallelujah. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to understand that He loves you so much He would be willing to die for you. People have messed up. Yes, even religious people. We got religious people in the world going around killing people today. We need people of love like Jesus who got down and washed His disciples' feet. He could have said, Peter, I'm not going to wash your feet. I know in a little while you're going to deny me three times. Judas? Forget about it. As they say in New York, forget about it. There's no way I'm washing Judas's feet. He's the betrayer. He's a traitor. What would you have done? Would have been very hard for me. If I knew that in advance, would have been very hard. But that's the love of God. That's the love of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue this message. I know there's more here, but I don't want to go beyond certain point of your ability to receive. I don't want to oversaturate you. How many of you received something from this word today? Would you stand with me right now? Would you stand with me right now? To be continued. Say, to be continued. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Let's get some worship. I want us to sing again, Here I Am. Brother Angel, I don't know if we know the key on that, if you have it ready. You have placed your holy word within me. I believe that God is calling people here today. Two kinds of people. People that need to draw closer to God because the first relationship with your father, God, has been out of whack. Maybe your earthly father was a disaster. Maybe your earthly father wasn't even there. But that doesn't mean that's how God is. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a good father. Turn to your other neighbor and say, God is a really good father. God loves you unconditionally, my friend. God loves you unconditionally. And I'm going to ask those of you who need to get closer to Him. And then secondly, we're going to ask those of you who have been hurt or have been holding back and reaching out and trusting God and having faith for godly relationships, I want you to believe again, and I want to ask you to step out and say, God, I've failed in this area, or I've been frustrated in this area of relationships, or I failed to believe that there can be any good in it. But Pastor said, this is what you want, Lord. And so I'm going to obey today and dedicate my life to you.